All right, so we're going to start at the bottom of Nuntena Mutbet by the Mishnah. Mishnah begins, Im Arvim Perot B'Perot, Afilu Chadashim B'Chadashim. Can't mix up different Perot. I mean, if you're selling Perot, you can't go and mix up from different suppliers the Perot that you're selling. Ve'in Tzarech Lomar Chadashim B'Yashanim. That you can't put new into the old Perot, because the old Perot are drier, and therefore, for instance, like by Chitim, they produce more kemach, they produce more flour. So if you stick newer produce into the older produce, you're mixing and matching. It's not what the purchaser had intended to purchase. They had intended to purchase something that was already older and dried out, and you're selling them something fresh and moist. Be'emet amru, but there is an exception to this rule, that a tiru, areib kashir, be'irach, mipnei shu mashbicho, yayin. Right, so in wine, they are matir to mix up sharper, right, more potent wine with less potent or less sharp wine, because it improves the taste or the flavor. So since here it's to the benefit of the purchaser and the benefit of the wine, therefore we permit it. Now, Rashi over here writes that this is true in general. In Rashi, at the end of the second Rashi, writes, Aval Yishanim B'Chadashim Shapir Dami. Rashi extends the statement of the Gemara here about Yayin, and then extends it even to Perot as well. That the Mishnah before, when it says, Ein Tzarech Lomar Chadashim B'Yashanim, as Dafka, new into old. But the other way around, where you put old into new, now old being better, when you put old into new, that's permitted because you are actually benefiting the buyer. If you're benefiting the buyer, then we don't consider that to be a problem, just like by the Yayin, where you put in the sharper, more potent wine, you put it into the right, less potent wine, that improves it, so too, that would be the case by Perot. The Rif disagrees, the Rif is Cholek, and says that this distinction of Rach B'Kasheh, or is, Kasheh B'Rach, is only for Yayin and not for Perot. On the other hand, Rashi does say by Yayin that it's Davka Kasheh B'Rach, below Rach B'Kasheh. Rashi says that the Mishnah here says that you put in Kasheh B'Rach is because that's Mipnei Shemashbichot. But the other way around, if you have potent wine and then you try to dilute it with the grape juice in the wine, that you're not allowed to do. Although again, the Rosh is Cholek here and says, no, what happens if the wine's too potent, right, and you use the other wine because it either improves the flavor or lessens the potency, so it's a better wine, then you would permit it to do it the other way around as well. But what's clear here is that you're not allowed to do items or mixed produce where it's not to the benefit of the buyer, right? If it's not the benefit of the buyer, the buyer's not going to be able to discern that difference. Since he can't discern that difference, when you do that, you're actually cheating the buyer out of what he's intending or what he thought he was buying. Now, me'ein ma'arvim shmarei yayin b'yayin. You can't put in the sediment of the wine into the wine. But no ten lo et shmarav. But you're allowed to put its sediment in. The Gemara will discuss that. It seems to be a stira in the two statements here of the Gemara with regards to sediment. Mishin tarev ma'ayin b'yayin. Person who mixes water into his wine. Lo yim karenu b'chanut elim kein hodiyo. He can't sell that wine in the store unless he lets the buyers know that he's diluted the wine with water. No, the tagar. And you're not allowed to sell it to a, what's called a reseller. You're not allowed to sell it to a reseller or someone else who's going to actually sell it. Even if you tell him why, see, the fact that you tell him or that you would tell the buyers about it doesn't mean that the party that you're selling to is going to do the same. The reason he's buying it from you, that diluted or watered down, is because he wants to sell it as full produce, or he wants to sell it fully as all wine, and therefore you're not permitted to sell it into this tagar, because we're afraid that he is not going to do the same tova that you would, which is actually tell the people what's in this wine. A place where the minhag is to put water into the wine, then clearly the buyers know. The buyers know what they're buying. They expect there to be water in the wine, and therefore it's not deception when you have water in the wine. A tagar notel mehegranot, unoten lotoch mugra achat. Reseller, wholesaler can take from five different suppliers and put them into a migurachat. Migurachat is like one goren, one area where he's dashit. He's allowed to mix and match from different suppliers. Why? Because people expect that. When you buy from the wholesaler, when you buy from the tagar, you don't expect them to have a single supplier. You expect them to have multiple suppliers. Same thing with wine. Mehegitot, notein letoch pitum echad. Person can take, or tagar can take it from five different presses, five different wine presses, and then combine them into a single barrel or a single storage vat, right? As long as He's not intending to mix it. What do you mean not intending to mix it? Of course he's intending to mix it. No, if he gets a shame out there, there's a rumor, or there's a people are excited about his tevuah because they heard that he has from a certain area, he has wine from a certain supplier, or he has tevuah from a certain supplier, which is supposedly really great. So what does he do? He gets multiple suppliers and he mixes them all together, but he sells them all as if they belong, or as if they're under that one name of the super supplier or the great supplier. What he's not allowed to do is intentionally mix them up and then represent them as a being supplied by a single supplier or coming from a special area. He's allowed to sell them stam when nobody has any expectations because that's what they expect. Again, that there'll be multiple suppliers. But when they're expecting it from a single supplier, then he may not intentionally mix them and indicate that it comes from that supplier. Right, Tana Rabbanan. In our Mishnah, where it says you're not allowed to mix the new with the old, then of course we don't have to say that when ma'arba, the chadashot mi'arba, vishanot mishalosh, when the old is more expensive than the new. I mean, the new you can buy four at a sella, whatever mentions that, four sa'at to a sella, and the old ones you can only buy three sa'at to a sella. That means that the old ones are much more expensive. So of course, then when you're putting in the cheaper produce into the mix, then you're cheating him because you're giving him cheaper. But the aim arvin elav the aim arvin that you can mix them. Thank you. Ela afilu chadashot mishalosh bishanot miarba. But even if it's the other way around, that the chadashot are more expensive than the bishanot, the older ones are actually cheaper. So when he adds in the new produce, he's actually benefiting the buyer because the buyer now is getting more for his money that he would have when he would have gotten had it been just purchased chadashot. Amar, being still there, you can't mix them. Person wants to age his own fruit. So what does that mean? That a person who has produce, when you get produce, the produce has dried out. Right? A person may purchase the produce that's dried out is because then he has to make no effort in having to dry them out himself. On the other hand, there are other people who like to do their own drying and who want to store their own produce, and they want to do it themselves. So the reason that the new is more expensive than the old is because of this, I don't know if it's a need or desire by individuals to dry out their own produce. But that does not indicate that people always prefer to have new over old. This person specifically asks for old produce because he doesn't want the tircha, he doesn't want the bother of having to dry it out himself or having to store it himself. So because of that, he specifically asked for old produce. On the other hand, you're giving him new, and even though it's worth more, it's more expensive, you're still not giving him what he really wants, right? You're actually deceiving him because he wants totally dried out and ready produce, stuff that he can keep, is already ready to store, or ready to be used. He doesn't want to have to take new and then have to deal with it. Again, even though the new is more expensive, and why is the new more expensive? Because people like to do it personally. They like to do their own story and their own drying out. So even though they're more expensive and it would be to his benefit in terms of monetary sense, nevertheless we say don't do it because from a buying standpoint, he's not what he wants. It's not what he's intending to purchase, and therefore you have to give him what he intends to purchase.
It doesn't mean usually the new grain is more expensive.
No, but they're explaining why it could be.
When there are certain ways that are, then
that's the reason. Yeah, so all right, now, Shibir Achim, Feshu Majbichol. I'm Rabbi Lazar, Ada Amra, which Ada means Hada. And that's what we say. Ko Be'emet Amru Alachahi. Eight times the Mishnah says Be'emet, that means Allah is this way. In the Fakpek. Don't have any questions about it. I mean, that the Mishnah is giving you something that is clear, easy to understand with a good reason, and therefore the halacha is that way. So Amar Rav Nachman v'chein ben agitot shenu. This mixing of the wines is only permitted when it's actually at the presses. And when the wine is new and fresh, when you're going to ferment the wines together, you're going to store the wines together, then you're allowed to mix them up front. But later on, if you mix the wines later on, that is not necessarily mashbichot. That's not necessarily benefit of the wines when you do it later on because they don't ferment together. They don't age together. Vayidna, what about today? We don't have that. Today we mix our wines even afterwards. So how can you do that? That since everybody does it, and that's like we saw in the Mishnah when there is water mixed into the yayin, and that's the minhag of the area. Since everybody who's buying knows that's the case, so do here. All buyers know that they are buying wine that could have been mixed after the gitot. So since they're aware of the fact that it was mixed after the gitot, they're mochel on such an item, you don't have to worry about it. Ravacha b'edavika amar ha'mani ravacha hi. The way we sell it is like ravacha. Why? The time ravacha omer matir b'davar nit'am. Something that's tasted ahead of time, he is matir. What does that mean? That means that wine, when people purchase wine, they always taste the wine before they purchase it. So since they taste the wine before they purchase it, a discerning palate will know that the wine that is mixed here was mixed in. There's no deception involved anymore, because even if the wine is mixed, the individual will know about it when he tastes the wine. When he tastes the wine, he's making a decision either to yes, purchase it, or to no, purchase it, but he is aware through the tasting what he's getting. So when he buys it, he's buying that particular taste, or that particular flavor, or that particular quality of wine, and therefore there's no more mekach ta'ut over here. There's no mekach ta'ut because he knows exactly what he is purchasing. Right now, the next part of the Mishnah, we discussed that the Mishnah, when it discussed about the sediment, right, it says, now that it makes the sediment into the wine, you see in the first statement, you're not allowed to mix sediment into the wine. And then you have a second statement in the Mishnah that says you're allowed to put the sediment in. So what do you think that means? You're going to suggest that means the kamodule, that if you tell me you mix the sediment in, then it's okay. The next line in the Mishnah says, the next section of the Mishnah discusses about selling with knowledge and selling without knowledge. So if we're really talking about modio, they should have waited until the next piece of the Mishnah to talk to us about telling the information. Should have been mentioned at this part of the Mishnah. From that we can conclude that the Reisha Abagav Delo Modile, the case here we're talking about is even if he doesn't let him know. He does not have to tell him about what he did. So how do you reconcile between the fact that you're not allowed to place the sediment into the wine, and then the next statement in the Mishnah is, you're allowed to place sediment into the wine. Said, Amri Yehuda Achikamar, Eimar Vin Shmarim Shalemesh V'Shal Yom, V'Lo Shal Yom V'Shalemesh. Right, this is all a mashal, it's not literal. We're not allowed to put yesterday's wine into today's wine, or today's wine into yesterday's wine, meaning that you can't mix and match sediment from one wine with a different wine. So if yesterday you have sediment from yesterday, which is another quality or another batch of wine, you're not allowed to mix that sediment with today's wine. Because mixing and matching the sediment is not to the benefit of the buyer. Whereas aval notein lo et shmarav means that you're allowed to put this wine's sediment into the wine, because it both helps the wine ferment. It helps give flavor to the wine. It helps be shomer the wine. So in all of those instances, putting in the shmarim of the wine itself, meaning that wine that is it produced those sediments, that is permitted because it helps the wine, and that's what the buyer would expect. The buyer would expect to have the sediment from that wine inside of its wine. We have a price that supports it. Someone is pouring wine for his friend. Rashi defines the word shofem here, me to mean anything that is salul, that is clear, that you pour from one utensil to another utensil, that's called shofet. So shofet yayin lechavero azer lo yirarev. Don't mix it up. Shel emesh v'shel yom, v'shel yom v'shel emesh. Don't mix up different qualities, different days, different wines, right? Avol merev shel emesh v'shel emesh v'shel yom v'shel yom. But if it's the same quality, the same of the same batch, that you're allowed to mix together. So the same will be true also with the shmarim. Same as shmarim, you can't mix and match shmarim, but you can put in the shmarim that are shayach to this batch of wine or to this this barrel.
So, I mean, the wine that's made in the same gap, or strictly that it was stored in the same barrel.
Yeah, I don't know where that defining point is, where the shmarim belong to the wine or don't. But it sounds from here that it's the same gap. It's the same press, the batch of wine, right? Not that it's because you can have multiple barrels out of the same batch. I think that would be fine. Rava, I told a chamra b'chanuta. They purchased for him some wine from the store. Maske, he diluted it, like they did to their wines in that day, because they were too potent in their pure form. So he dilutes it, tame, tasted it, v'lo basim. Wasn't flavorful, wasn't exactly what he had expected. He thinks this is a subpar quality, and therefore he wants to return it to the store. He says, this is a mekach ta'ut, so I'm going to return it. Shadre l'chanuta, he sends it back to the store. So I'm going to say, how can you send it back to the store now? When the store sold it to you, it was pure wine. Now when he's sending it back, he put water into the wine, and he's sending it back to the storekeeper. What's the storekeeper going to do? He's going to go resell it now as wine, but the wine is diluted with water. So I'm going to say, that my dilution is well known. Why is my dilution well known? Because Gemara says in places that Rava used to dilute his wine in three parts to one, three parts water to one part wine, whereas the standard dilution was two parts water to one part wine. So Rava's dilution was greater percentage of the mixture than a normal dilution of wine, and therefore anybody who tasted it would know right away that there was water in this wine, because it would taste diluted.
Even though you would pour it back into his big barrel.
So what are you going to say? You know what he'll do? He'll take wine and mix the wine in, so he'll remake it into, right, not Rava's mixture, but back to the standard mixture. He'll reduce the amount of water content in here, but not totally remove it. And therefore, he's going to also do, he'll sneak around by selling it as wine, even though there's water mixed in it. Because back to him, in pain, in the davar suf. We are choshesh. If you give somebody a produce to sell, or it's ready-made to sell, and they can trick other people, then we say, okay, maybe it's too much temptation for the individual. But we're not going to be choshesh for a rasha who, after getting this back, is going to remix it and make sure that it tastes enough, good enough, that he can sell it, even though it's not really the right thing. Because that's too far already. Now we can't be choshesh all the place for evil people who are going to do misdeeds. Right. You could mix it. Right. Again, exactly that. You can't sell him anything because he will mix it up. So over here we say we're choshesh for what is readily available to him to cheat with, but we're not going to worry about where there's, medaldel, or that it's going to reach a point where he is, does multiple tricks here in order to sell the wine to others. Right now, Malkov Shnagula told Ma'im B'yan Yatilu, Tana the Mechsa, the Shli, Shul, Rivia. That here, these dilutions are half, a third, or quarter. Amrav, Ubena Gitot Shanu. That this dilution with water depends on Minhag Medina, where they do it for half, or they do a third, or they do a quarter, and whatever the Minhag is, that's what you're allowed to do. And again, that qualification that it has to be done, Ben Gitot, it has to be done up front, when they dilute it with water. It's not like the later dilution of the wine, where you pour water in later on to take away its potency. This is talking about before the fermentation process. They add water in the wine before it begins to ferment. That has to be done ben kitot, and again, according to the minhag medina.
Specific has to be according to the specific meziga, even when it's not davar hanitam. When it's not davar hanitam. But davar hanitam, you can even go beyond the accepted the ratios.
Probably true. Right, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
That's
what
you're
saying.
That seems to be what Mara said before.
Right, the Ravach was saying even in an unusual circumstance, it's nitam, you don't have to worry about it. Right? But here it's a standard minhag, so here you don't have to worry about
the nitam.
New Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yechaleg achen mani klayot ve'gozim letinokot, m'nei shemar gilan lavo etzloch. Can't give out little gifts to the kids at the store because that'll encourage the kids to come back and purchase from you. You're creating an unfair advantage in your selling process. So, Chamim Matirim. Chamim say, go ahead. So we'll see in the Gemara exactly why. Right? Lo yivchot et ashar. Persons shouldn't reduce their prices below market. Chamim, zachor letov. Why not? Great idea. Give him a bracha that he's lowering the prices. Right now, lo yivor et agrisim. Person should not clean up the beans, meaning that he shouldn't take the psolet, he shouldn't take the refuse out of the beans. Because, Devrei Abishol, what's the problem? Problem is that if you take the beans and sell them as they are, as is, they fetch a certain price. When you remove the psolet from them, and then you sell them clean, it fetches a much higher price. So Abishol believes that the price differential is not really reflective of what the work is. Meaning that you can charge a significant premium for clean beans than you can for beans mixed with the psolet. Now, even though there is avodah, there is work entailed in separating out the shells and the psolet from the beans. Nevertheless, a person pays more than the true value of the work done. That's what Abishol says. B'chameh matirim, b'chameh say no problem.
Sorry?
I'm sorry?
By the selling beans, by the volume?
I don't know how they sold. Yeah, I assume they assume by the volume, but they're visible, which you're looking at.
So if he's taking out the psolet, wouldn't that mean that he's getting more beans per volume?
Right, but the price per volume will change also. Right? Meaning that even though the volume, but like when you go into the store and you buy shelled nuts versus nuts that are not shelled, right, then you pay more. Even though you're selling both by volume and you're paying by weight, but the price per kilo is different because of the difference in the psalm. And everybody agrees, this is a significant problem with sellers, that everybody agrees that you can't clean out the psalm from the top part of the vessel or the barrel and then leave the rest of it with the psalm in it. I mean, that is clear deception, that you're selling them as if they are, right, all shelled and cleaned out, but only the top part is, right, only you put the nicest produce on top, and the rest is rotting right below, right? This is a very common practice. Because what? It's right, it is, exactly that, it's mechachtot, it's clear robbery, because you're trying to get the person to catch something with his eye, and buy it based on what he sees, even though what's below it is not what he sees, right? And you're practicing.
Know this.
I mean, now it's already, it's a given. that it's already minhag
ha-medina. The whole issue is that the Malach Mishnah is halachic issues with advertisements.
Why
what
is it?
That's the next one,
the last one.
Right, that's the next part of the advertisement. One may not fatten up a person or, you know, pretty them up. A person or an animal or a kelim in order to sell them as if they're something that they are not. So that's the advertising problem here, is where you are dressing them up to sell them. Are you really presenting the true object that you are selling? Are you giving everybody the information that they need in order to purchase over here?
It's a little joke. That was the demo.
Say, Maita Mayu de Rabbanan. What's the reason behind the Rabbanan who argue against the Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're not allowed to have the storekeeper give out special items to the individuals? Damalei, Ana Mifligna, and Gosid. I give out Egozim, I give out walnuts, Ve'at, Palik Shiski. And you should give out Shiski, meaning that this is competition, you want to compete with me, you should give something else out. Rashi says Shiski here are prunes, which is interesting. Rashi in other places says there's shkidim, and there is actually a shesek, which is right here in Eretz Yisrael. You have the shesek tree, which is a fruit that has a gerinim in it. It's a
loquat.
Oh, that's right. That's what it's called. Loquat, thank you. So that's a shiski. But I don't know, whatever it is, but he's what the storekeeper can say is this is fair competition. I'm not preventing you from doing the same thing. Meaning that if I go and give out a special item that everybody else likes, you can create your own special item that everybody likes. That's true competition. There shouldn't be any issue with it. You can't reduce prices below the market. My time is the Rabbanan.
They don't ask my time of the first time.
Right. Because the whole premise here, the whole problem here is that unfair practices. So Rabbanan say these are all fair practices. So the Gemara wants to know, why are these fair practices? In this part of the Bava, actually, the Rashi asks, why do they ask about the Rabbanan? It's because Zachor the Tov, they give a bracha to someone who lowers the price. Alright, fine, say it's okay, but why do they give him a bracha? By Mishom, the Karmar Bracha the Tarot. Because he causes the entire market price to drop. Meaning that when he lowers his price, the market price will no longer be the higher price. That is competition. Competition means that when you lower the price, everybody else follows and lowers the price along with you. If everybody else lowers the price along with you, then everyone benefits. There's nothing wrong here. Now, obviously, there is a problem with lowering the price. When you lower a price, which is called dumping, when you lower a price, you lower cost, which is that you are selling it below the true value of the item or the ability for people to make any money here. Right? There are today modern-day laws that prevent countries from sending over produce and dumping, which is selling them below the true cost, because that is unfair practices and unfair competition. So here, I'm assuming that the same would apply, but the idea of the Chachamim to lower the market price is, to lower the market price where it's still a fair market price for those that are selling it. But if you are selling it below market in the way where you're taking a loss, meaning that you are actually not making a profit, and that's causing others then to lose out, then in that instance, maybe that is not allowed, and that would not be permitted, because there you are not, even though you're benefiting everybody, you're not being true, or you're not being honest about the sales that you are doing.
So is an advertised sale considered the same thing? Or is it you want to clear out right.
That's a question about loss leaders, which is a common practice in retailers, which is something called the loss leader, where they are selling below market clearly to bring people into the store. But there they are advertising. I think there is good advertising.
Wait, so it's a problem that Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to do this because it would just attract customers and it's temporary and it's just something to say even so.
Well, I don't know, temporary. Rabbi Yehuda says it's unfair competition. It's unfair practices. That's Rabbi Yehuda's basic premise here in the Mishnah, that all these practices are unfair. They give you an unfair advantage. That unfair advantage is not good. It's not good business practices. The Chachamim say no, competition is good. Competition is good as long as the competitors can replicate what you're doing. Assuming that the competition can replicate what you're doing, take a lower profit margin, but replicate what you're doing, that's permitted. But again, that's what I'm suggesting here, that if the competition then forces people to lose money, and the competition is not fair in the sense that it's not real, you can't continue like this endlessly because it would cause losses for people, then it may not be permitted, even according to the Chachamim, unless you clearly, as we're saying now, advertise or indicate that it's a loss leader, it's a clearance sale somewhere where they indicate that this is a temporary situation, so that therefore they don't lower the market price because they're indicating that it's a temporary situation. In our Mishnah, it says, "Lo yivor tagri sim divrei Abba Shaul v'chomim matirim man chachamim v'chomim here." The Gemara says again, "Rabbi Acha, tani Rabbi Acha matir b'dvar anir eh." Racha says, as long as the buyer understands what he is buying, there is no problem with what you do. Over here, the buyer can see that you took all the refuse out of the beans, and he's willing to pay a higher price. He knows that he could do it himself. He's not interested in doing it himself. And therefore, when he pays a premium price above the value of separating the psolet from the beans, nevertheless, that premium is valuable to him. That premium is valuable to him, and he's willing to pay it because he can see it. Right? It's the equivalent of going to a makolet. Right? You go to a makolet, and you know they're overcharging. They're charging much more than the market price, right, of the fruits, the vegetables, or anything they're selling. But to you, the convenience of being able to get it at the local store, right, that is considered to be something that you understand, you're well aware of. You could go to the supermarket as well, but you choose to go here and you can see the difference in the pricing. But you purchase it because it's more convenient. It's something that you want, even though it's above the true market value of the item, because it's devar ha-nir'eh. So as long as you understand that, then it's not a problem. You're not allowed to fatten them up, make them look pretty. You're not allowed to make an animal's hair stand up, make it stick out. For some reason, that made it look better or stronger or fatter. In the butcher store, you can't take the innards and blow air into them so they look bigger and more than they really are. You're not allowed to soak meat in water because it makes it, according to Rashi, makes it white. And because it makes it white, white makes it look with more fat. Right, because fat is white, so on the meat, they were looking for today, where you're looking for meat that doesn't have fat on there. And their day, they were looking for meat with fat on it. So therefore, if you're looking for meat with fat on it, fat is white. So therefore, if you soak it in water, it looks, makes the meat look more white. Or it has a whiter, right, appearance. So that whiter appearance is indicative of more fat. So you're deceiving the buyer by thinking, making him think that there's more fat in the meat than there really is. So my aim is sharpetin. What does this mean, aim is sharpetin, that having the hair stick up? One explanation was that in Babel they used to explain that it means that feeding him water that had barley soaked in it, and when he drank that water, it made his hair stand on end. Right? Ziri Amar, Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Kahana Mizak Fata. Right? That they said that it was a comb, that a special type of comb that used to comb the animal in order to have its hair stand up. Right? Shmuel Shar the Mirma Tume the Sarvila. Shmuel allowed them to tie on or to knot on chute meshit, strings of silk or fine wool on tops of the begadim, and make them look pretty. That he made them, that you could add on these items to make them look prettier. Rehuda Shar the Kiskuse Karme allowed you to launder colored clothing in order that the colors should shine and be clear. Rabbi Shar the Midak Tzradei allowed you to mehadek, to tighten up the strings in big day canvas. And Gamas Begadim, he allowed you to tie sticks to them and pull them tight so the strings would look tighter. Rabbi Charlotte Tzlume Gire, Rabbi says you're permitted to draw or color, or mitzayer, to make nice, beautiful pictures on the arrows, right, that they were selling. Rabbi Shmuel Charlotte Tzlume Dikule, he would permit them on baskets made out of palm leaves or palm branches, that he would permit them to also to color pictures in on them. That goes directly against our Mishnah, that now let it dress up the item that you are selling. So where it says, that depends what you're selling. When you're selling new items, then the additional dress up of the item is presenting a new item with some additional factor. That the individual is willing to pay more for that factor. For instance, you have a new basket that has beautiful inscriptions on it, or you have beautiful drawings on it. You have a new arrow that has nice drawings on it. In both these instances, you're selling them something new, and the person's willing to pay a premium for what is drawn on them. On the other hand, if they are old baskets, or they are old arrows, or the other items here that are older, and you're doing whatever process that you are doing here, for instance, coloring them in, or drawing on them, to deceive the buyer into thinking that it's new, because he can't see that the item is old now, because the picture covers over the true age of the item. In that case, that's deception. Deception is not permitted. So when it comes to deception, like our Mishnah, that is not permitted. When it's open, it's almost a little like Ravacha, but when it's clearly, you're not deceiving the person, you're selling them something new, and they're willing to pay a premium for what they see, which is the additional picture or the additional item added to it, that's fine because there is no Mekach Ta'ut over here. So Pirkus to Adam Mahi. What is Pirkus to Adam? How do you fatten a person up? What does it mean that you're selling a person? Obviously, you're talking about Evi Kanani here. Kihahu da Avdo Sabo. It was old Evan Kanani, the Azal Tzave, the Rashi Ledikne. He went ahead and he colored his hair. He had white hair and a white beard. Went ahead and he dyed his hair black. Right? So Atla Kamei to Rava, he came to Rava Amalei Zidnin, buy me. He says, listen, I'm a great slave, I'm a great worker, you should buy me. Amalei, you aniyim b'nei b'techet. Quotes the mission from a vote, and he says, what? I'd rather give Jewish labor. Right, it's the same thing today, Jewish labor. Arab labor, here he goes. Rabbi says, I don't want to buy an Eved Kenani. I'd rather give my business to the Jewish aniyim and mimefranes the aniyim, the Jewish aniyim. So I'm not going to buy you, sorry. He went to Rabbi Shmuel, Zavne. So then he purchased him. One day he said to him, look, give me some water. I want you to bring me a glass of water or go draw me some water. So then he showed him, or he happened to have his, he went and his hair turned white and his beard turned white. Now, I don't know if, it's not clear from the Gemara here what happened, whether the Eved himself did this. You know, he like took off his collar because he didn't want to go and fetch the water to show that he was old. Or because he went and got involved with the water, right, the water washed out the color from his beard and then became white. Do you see that I'm older than your father? Right? So Karya Nafshe, Rabbi Papa Mishmuel said about himself, Tzadik mitzara nechalatz. The tzadik is saved, removed from that which is bad about Rava. Rava, who's a tzadik, was saved from buying this deceptive Eved Kenani. Ve'avo acher tachtav. The Mara changed the gears. The gears in the pasuk is Rasha. Ve'avo Rasha tachtav. Obviously, they want to cover Papa Mishmuel Rasha, but ve'avo acher tachtav. Someone else gets whatever was supposed to happen to the tzaddik happens to the other individuals. That's what Papa said about himself. This was supposed to happen to Rava. Rava was a tzaddik, so he was protected, and instead it came to me, Papa Rishmo, I ended up buying this Eved Kenani. Alright, now.
I'm learning in the reverse. In other words, if a customer is coming, let's say, and you pick out the, you know, the broken shells and like that, right? That's also, you know, or play fruit also, we pick out bad ones, you know.
But here today, I think the stores present fruits and they present it in a manner. They do put the nicest ones on top, but they do present it in a manner that you're allowed to take what you want. That's accepted practice. But if they're sold in containers, right, separate containers, but as people do many times, which is that's inappropriate, is they open up the containers and then they remix the containers. Right. That you can't do because then you're changing what, you know, then you're making one really bad container, one a good container, but they're all charging the same price per container. That would be problematic because there, the presentation is a container's worth, not go choose what you want out of the containers. Alright, now, new Mishnah, Ezu Neshef, Ezu Tarbit. At this point, the Mishnah seems to indicate that there are two Isurim, which there are in the Torah, the two Lavim. One is of Neshech, right? And the other one is Tarbit. Two separate Isurim, and that they're actually different. Right? So that, Ezu Neshech, what is Neshech? Hamal v'sela behei dinarim. A sela is really worth 4 dinarim. You lend a person a sela, and you tell them to give you back 5 dinar. You give them 4 dinar, you want 5 back. Sataim chitim b'shalosh. You give him 2 sa'av chita, and you expect 3 back from him. That's Neshech. Asur b'neshu noshech. Well, there is no shef. No shef means, but the shortest way no shef is nashach, is to bite. Because the person who is borrowing over here gets bitten. Why does he get bitten? Because he's paying back more than he actually borrowed. Bezu tarbit. What is tarbit? Hamarbe b'peirot. He gives more peirot. Ketzad, what's the case here? Lekach emenu chitim b'dinar zahav akur. He went ahead and he purchased from him chitim wheat b'dinar. Zahav, with 1 gold coin, right, for a kur. Now, 1 gold coin is worth, remember, we had this earlier, 25 silver coins. B'chein ashar. And that's the market price at the time that he sells it to him. He sells it to him, that he says, I want to purchase from you chita, I want to purchase from you wheat, I don't have money today, but I want to buy it from you at today's market. Today's market is 25 dinarei kesef. Amdu chitim b'lamet dinarim. The price, the market price of wheat appreciated, and now it costs 30 silver coins to purchase a sa'ah of wheat. Amar lo ten li chita'ai shani rotze lemochran. Right, the person, the original person who had the chita'ai and lent it to this individual says, give me my wheat back. I want to sell my wheat in the market now because before they were 25, but now they're worth 30. I lent you a sa'ah of wheat. I want you to replace my wheat so I can sell it into the market. And then I want to go purchase wine with that. Amar lo arei chitach asuyot alai. So he says, listen, you owe me chitim at 30. So listen to you, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of the 30. Vahari lechait zli behen b'yayin. And I'll replace them with wine. Because the lender, right, the creditor over here said, I lent you a saw of wheat. I want my saw of wheat now so I can liquidate it, monetize it, and then buy wine with it. So the debtor or the borrower over here says, listen, I'll do that transaction for you. I don't have wine today. I don't have chita today, but now, listen, whatever chita I owe you, I'll pay you back at 30. That 30, I'll pay you in wine now. But he doesn't have it. But Yayin Ein Loin doesn't have wine, that is Asur. The Mishnah doesn't explain why. The Gemara will go through why this is problematic. Okay, I'm explaining what the case is here in the Mishnah. The Gemara explained why this is a problem of repeat.
Tarbit sounds basically like commodities, futures, trading.
Alright, Tarbit is where you profit at someone else's, where it's not necessarily you did something wrong, the intention. Right, the original intention of why you gave it to him, you weren't planning on profiting from it. You lent him you gave him a saw of wheat, and you intended to get a saw of wheat back. The fact that the market price changed is not why you lent it. You didn't lend it to him because you thought the market price was going to go up and you're going to get it back at a higher price. You just lent it to him expecting to get it back. In the first case, you intentionally, or you're specifically telling him, I'm giving you a certain quantity and I want a larger quantity back. That's the difference between the first and the second case. So the second case is where he didn't try to make money on it, but it happened to be that he actually did make money on it.
So that's Isser after the bet.
All right, so that's what we have to decide. The Isser here may not be that he's returning. It's what he does at the end. That he tells him, I'll repay you in wine that he doesn't have, and that might cause the whole problem here, because then he's borrowing something where he doesn't have a market replacement for it. We'll see in the Gemara about that. All right, Mishnah says, Midashovik, the Ribit, Doraita, Bekamarish, the Rabbanan. The Mishnah starts out with Ezu Neshek, Ezu Tarbit. Right, then the Gemara gives an example. The Mishnah gives an example. Eshu neshech. Neshech meaning at the doraisa level. Why is that? It's malves selabehei dinarim. Person's lending a certain amount of money, getting back more. That is clear rebit, clear interest that's being charged over here. There they're explaining a din doraisa. But after that, what do? Then they say ezu rebit. When they go to explain tarbit in the Mishnah, they give something that's done derech mekach umemkar. Derech mekach umemkar is not asur min haTorah, but only asur min haRabbanan. So you have an inconsistency in the Mishnah. The Mishnah should have given two examples, both examples of Doraisa. An example of Neshech Doraisa, an example of Ribit Doraisa. But it doesn't do that. It gives you an example of Neshech Doraisa, then gives you an example of Ribit that's only DeRabbanan. So from that you can learn. Mishalach the Ribit Doraisa, the Converse Rabbanan, Michlau. And there you can infer Doraisa, the Neshech with Tarbit, Chadamilsehi. There is no such distinction at the Torah level. There is no case of Ribit Doraisa that's separate from Neshech Doraisa. Baha cried, Tibe. Wait a minute. The Sukkim do distinguish between them, because the Pasuk says, et kaspecha lo titen b'neshech, u'marbit lo titen ochlecha. Meaning that neshech is associated with money, and tarbit, or ribit, is associated with ochel, with produce. So if that's the case, there is a distinction at the Doraisa level. If there is a distinction at the Doraisa level, why doesn't our Mishnah make such a distinction? Nezech kesef, ribit ochel. Mar says, v'tispra, right? Does it make sense? Because deika neshech lo tarbit, v'tarbit below neshech, right? Does that can such a thing happen? Can we separate between neshech and tarbit? Can you make such a logical argument that neshech and tarbit are actually separate and they don't come in a single package? So now the Gemara is going to go through and explain to us that there's no possibility of such a thing. You can't have neshech independent of a tarbit. Why? The word neshech comes from the root noshech, to be bitten. Bidden is to the detriment of the borrower, or the one who is being charged the interest. And marbit is from the word ribui, to increase, comes from the side of the creditor. So that the creditor who benefits, who gets the extra money, that's tarbit. So the Gemara wants to know, can you really separate between neshech and tarbit, divide them into two categories, because can you have a case, or a possibility, a logical possibility, where either the borrower loses out, but the lender gets no benefit, or that the lender gets a benefit without hurting the bar. It says, Neshech lo tarbit echidami. Right, so how is this case? Can you really have such a, right, logical differentiation? Because can you have Neshech lo tarbit echidami? How can you have something where the debtor loses, but the creditor does not benefit? Idos ve meya ve meya ve esrim. If you lend him 100, and he expects to get 120, get back. Mikara kaimi meya bedanko. In the beginning, a danka here is a ma'a kesef. Right, so this ma'a kesef originally was worth 100. So, kaimi meya b'esrim. In the end, the danka. A ma'a kesef got you 120 putot. So in the beginning, it got you 100 putot, and now it gets you 120 putot. Neshech ika. There is a bite to the debtor, the kavanachitle. Because now he has to pay back more. When he borrowed, he got 100 putot. Now he has to give 120 putot more to get a ma'a. The kashakumi name b'day, deloyoyiv. Right, he's taking back for him something that he didn't give him. But tarbit leka, there's no benefit here. Delit le rabcha, that he gets no benefit. Why? The danka usvei, danka kashokel minei. He lent him a ma'a, and he's getting back a ma'a. If he lent him a silver coin of a ma'a, and he gets back a ma'a, he got back exactly what he gave him. Even though the borrower over here really has to pay more to get this silver coin. Right, says, wait a minute. Sof sof. In the end, Iba Dharmi Kara Azlat, if you focus on the original transaction, Hari Neshech, Vari Tarbit, then both parties have been affected here. The lender is getting back a ma'ah that's worth 120 prutot here. It's worth more than the 100 that he lent it. On the other hand, right, the debtor is losing because he had to give him a ma'ah worth 100, now he's giving back a ma'ah worth that's worth 120. If you go with the current pricing, what today's pricing is, if you're talking about the silver coin itself, then the silver coin. He lent him a silver coin, he returned him a silver coin. That's true both from the perspective of the lender and the borrower. So both of them have not been affected by it. Meaning that if you only look at a single point in time, right, both either at the original market price or at today's market price, then there's only both parties are affected in the same manner. Either they're both not affected, or they both are affected. But you can't say that there is one party benefiting and one party not benefiting when you have a span of time in between in which the value changes. That can't be the case. So Gemara said, okay, moving on now. Okay, but two. Tarbi below Neshech Hechidami. Explain to me the case where the lender benefits and the seller gets no benefit. Id Osif B'meya. If you lend 100 for 100, originally, a silver coin got you 100. In the end, that used to get it 100 at a chumsha. Now, chumsha is referring to the value of the ma'ah kesef. A ma'ah kesef is 1/6 of a sela. It's 1/6 of a sela. So generally, a ma'ah kesef is 1/6 of a sela. That's the standard amount. So at a ma'ah, at 1/6 of a sela, originally got you 100. Later on, when a ma'ah was worth 1/5 of a sela, that means that the value of a ma'ah has gone up relative to the sela, right? And you only get a me'ah. You still only get 100 for it. So now what? If you go back by the original pricing, you got no benefit. He lent out a ma'ah, he lent out a silver coin, and now he's getting back a silver coin. What benefit does he have? He gave a silver coin, gets back a silver coin, nothing's changed. Right, and then the other person didn't lose either. They're both getting it back, 100 for 100. If you're going by the current pricing, then there is a loss from the borrower standpoint, and there is a benefit from the lender standpoint. Why? He's getting back a ma'ah kesef now. Right, a ma'ah kesef now is worth 1/5 of a seller. It's worth much more than the original ma'ah. True, it's still only worth 100 prutot. Each one of them is only equivalent to 100 prutot. But the relationship to a seller has changed, and it's changed for both parties. If it's changed for both parties, then they both have been cheated. I mean, in a sense, cheated. One's benefiting and one's losing. Mar says, Ela Amar Rava, Iyatam Uze Lo Neshech, Velo Tarbit, Velo Tarbit, Velo Neshech. They are never can be independent of each other. Velo Chilkana Katuv, Ela Lavor Alav, Bishnei Lavin. The reason the Torah repeats Neshech and Tarbit are equivalent. They are the same Lav. Why are they repeated? To tell you that you're over b'shnei lavim when you actually violate the isra neshech or tabit. The Gemara tomorrow will stop here. The Gemara tomorrow will explain how we get from neshech kesef and tabit ochel to include ochel and kesef by each other one.